How, can you tell me, I mean, I've read a couple of interviews with you, but if you could just tell me the history of your relationship with Baumbach, Noah Baumbach, who is a producer on this film. How did he...
Yeah.
How long do you guys go back, and how did he come to be a producer on Alexander the Last?
We started... I sent him an email through a friend, I guess in early 2008. So we haven't known each other for very long. And there was another project that I was working on at the time, and the producers of that project read something that he had written. He wrote something nice about Hannah Takes the Stairs in The Hollywood Reporter.
Okay.
So they sent him the script for that project, and we're sort of hoping he would get involved in that one. But when that project sort of got pushed, he and I were already friendly and talking and, you know, talking about trying to work together on something. So I told him, you know, if this bigger project ends up not happening, then what I'm going to do is just, you know, take some friends and make another small film. And
uh-huh.
He said, you know, that he would be just as happy and excited to collaborate on something small as he would on something more structured. So
right.
When that happened and that other film got pushed, that's exactly what we did. We just sort of started talking about doing something small and improvised the way that I had made the previous films.
Right. Right.
So that was all sort of happening, you know, between January and March of last year, and then we started shooting the film in April.
I kind of wrote that I felt that the interesting thing about Alexander the Last is that I did not feel the presence of great plot machinations going on, but I found it enormously absorbing nonetheless, and that was a relatively unusual thing. If you don't feel that there's a major plot thing happening, or at least something that is happening in a story vein. Not that it lacks story, I'm just saying it doesn't seem to operate primarily
sure.
as an unfurling of a story as much as an unfurling of character and situation, which I was very taken with. I could just spot it right away. I suppose it was the kind of the wedding vow thing that they were doing, the two women were doing in the beginning that
uh-huh.
really got me. Yeah. So, how would you respond to that? Do you see yourself as someone who is... less of a story guy and more of a character and aroma and undercurrent guy, or how did you write this?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I've always been interested in story, and you know, it's sort of what led me in film school from focusing mostly on wanting to make documentaries into shifting into narrative, because I think what fascinates me about documentaries is that you have to gather a lot of material, and then it's, you know, your job as a filmmaker and to work with the editor and to shape that material into some semblance of a story, but the material you're dealing with is still real life, and so you have to find a way to tell that story while still sort of, you know, holding true to the facts. And you know, I wanted a little bit more freedom than that, so I shifted into narrative filmmaking where I could really work with actors and tell a story. But I think really the kinds of stories that I'm telling are still in that documentary tradition where I'm, you know, it's not so much based on major plot turns or anything like that, but on doing the best job I can to create very believable characters and then letting the story unfold in small ways.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting, this New York Press interview that I'm reading, which I did not know about, that even before Baumbach came into your life, you were offered and passed on a number of opportunities, it says here, to make big-budget features. Can you tell me a little bit about that, what you were offered?
Sure.
Previously?
Yeah, that's not, you know, I mean, big-budget should be in the... parentheses, I think, or quotes, because it's not, I don't think it's really big budget, but I do this web series called Young American Bodies.
Okay.
So, I've had the opportunity to to take that from the web and to turn that into a full-scale television show.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the project that Bombeck almost got involved in, which was called Save the Date, which, you know, we were trying to raise, over $1 million or a couple $1 million for that, twice came
right
very close to happening. So that's not something that I passed on. But I don't mean to say anything negative, but that made its way into the article, I think, without really being fact-checked. So it's based on some truth that there have been opportunities to do bigger things that I passed on. But, you know, it's not like the studios have been knocking down my doors and I'm turning them away or anything.
I love the idea of a quasi-horror story inspired by The Seagull, Anton Chekhov's The Seagull.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now. That is true.
That's brilliant. I love that. Did you happen to see, by the way, The Seagull on Broadway with Kristin Scott Thomas?
No, but it had, it had a major impact on the film that it was playing at the time, because I'm working again with Jane Addams, and she saw it, and she said it was one of the best stagings of The Seagull she had ever seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sort of got us talking about it and definitely influenced the story.
That was the first time I saw Carey Mulligan, who then I later saw in Education at Sundance, but she was also excellent in that. Have you ever run into her, Carey Mulligan?
No, I'll have to. I'm punching her in on IMDb right now. Mm.
She was the one in Education is going to be out in the fall. Sony Classics picked it up at Sundance. I think it's really, really quite brilliant. Oh,
cool.
So when you guys are settling into your last two, three films, have you ever sat around and had acknowledged or announced, okay, here we go with another mumblecore film? I mean, what do you think of that term and that definition as it is commonly understood? Do you guys acknowledge or joke about the fact that you make mumblecore films?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, it's become something that I've had a strange relationship with. You know, I mean, on one hand, as a filmmaker, it's great that people have a reason to talk about your work and see your work. So, you know, I can't be and have never been too negative about it, because I realize that the word alone and the sort of concept and idea of the movement have a lot to do with why a lot of people got interested in my stuff in the first place and why they continue to write about it or be interested.
Mm.
But at the same time, you know, it was just like always much more a group of friends that happened to make similar work. And also, you know, I mean, we happened to become friends because we made similar work. It's sort of like we were all working on projects in different pockets of the country and didn't really know each other, and then
mm-hmm.
we met at film festivals through the work. So, I mean, it's definitely something that comes up and everybody sort of acknowledges, but
mm-hmm.
certainly much more in a joking kind of way than ever seriously. But, you know, I mean, I even find myself using the term to categorize something just because it really has become easy shorthand to talk about a lot of certain aspects of the film.
So given that the film is going to be simultaneously available on IFC's Festival on Demand at the same day that it plays at South by Southwest, which is this coming weekend, right? Isn't that when it is, on the 14th?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of days,
So, after that, forget theatrical. It's either IFC or nothing, right? There's no more film festivals, there's no more... What's the plan? Is there any other way to see it?
It will play film festivals, but probably, a lot fewer than my previous work has shown at, because I think a lot of festivals are concerned that they won't sell tickets if this film's available on demand, and I think
mm-hmm.
that's going to definitely have an impact. But we're scheduling some one-off screenings. It's going to screen at the IFC Center in New York on March 23rd and at a place called 92Y on March 28th. So there will be at least two New York screenings, and then it's, you know, screen a couple times in L.A.
Okay, let me just get...
week-long theatrical run. These will just be, like, one-time screenings.
All right. So IFC Center on one day, March 22nd, did you say, or 23rd?
Third. March 23rd.
And then the 92nd Street Y a few days later, and also a couple of places in Los Angeles, which would be what, the New Art, or one of those theaters that...
It's screening at UCLA on April 14th, and then I think they're trying to set something up at the Silent Movie Theater or somewhere else.
Okay, all right. All right, well, I...
The thing that I'm really excited about is the VOD and making it available that way. I mean, I just think that that's how most people will end up seeing the work.
Certainly, yes. Yeah. I'm just glad I just got a chance to see it early, because here's the funny thing. I presume that Jess's last name is pronounced Wexler. Is that right? Is that the way you pronounce it?
It's actually Weixler.
Okay, yeah, because I was wondering, I didn't know how to deal with an E-I-X. That's a kind of a...
I know.
Weixler.
I've never
Weixler.
Seen it before either. Yeah, okay. So it is Weixler.
What's the tribal ethnic origin of that last name? Do you know?
I don't know. She grew up in Kentucky, but I'm trying to remember if she ever told me where Weixler comes from. I think it might be British.
British, okay. So they're personal friends of yours, but you live in Chicago and they live in Brooklyn. How do you maintain any kind of day-to-day friendship with people that...
Well, a lot of conversations on the phone, and also I end up spending a lot of time in New York.
Okay.
Over the last 2 years, it's just sort of turned out that way, that I'm working a lot in New York, and then I'm there for various reasons, off and on, probably, you know, at least once a month, and sometimes more than that. So, I actually would, you know, I have a lot more friends in New York than I do in Chicago because of that sort of travel pattern.
Right, okay. What part of Chicago do you live in, out of curiosity?
I live west of the Loop.
West of the Loop.
Grand and Ashland. I don't know if you know the streets.
No, a little bit. I just know that a general rule of thumb is that wherever you happen to live in Chicago, you're probably going to have more square footage in your place than you will in New York or Brooklyn. They just tend to be bigger places.
Yeah, that is certainly true. I have my wife and I pay $850 a month for a nice two-bedroom place, so I don't think that's...
That's pretty good.
That's pretty rare anywhere in New York, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I would love to meet you someday. It was really, really a stirring thing, and I'm insisting that my two sons who are visiting me, that we're all going to watch it again tonight. And
great!
I really
appreciate it. You know, it's really nice to hear that the movie connected, and I read your review, and it's great to know that you were picking up on the things we're trying to do, because I think it's a really exciting time for independent film, you know, but it's sort of like, I feel like this kind of work where it's really not plot heavy and really is based on a receptive audience, like,
yeah,
really, you know, being smart and paying attention and picking up on those things.
Right.
I think that even with the access that VOD is going to give us and the exposure from festivals, you know, it's always been an uphill battle to get people to be serious about this kind of small work. So,
yeah,
you know, I really appreciate the review. I think it's going to go a long way towards helping people sort of sit down and give it a look.
Yeah, people just have to take the moment. I mean, we're all in this kind of very fast treadmill swirl life, and it's hard to know when you need to stop and slow down and just park it for a couple of hours. And I'm always like, I don't know when to do it myself. I know that I feel I have to with the big titles, that come along because I feel other people are probably going to want to hear about them. But I'm really glad that I took the time, and I really, it just reminded me that I need to be a little more disciplined as far as watching smaller stuff, because I was really glad I saw your film in the way I did. So.
Anyway. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
When's it going to be on DVD? What's the plan on that? Is there a plan?
I think they have IFC right now is trying to figure that out. There's a certain window, I think, before it can go on DVD, but I think it's not too long. I think it's a couple months. So, you know, I mean, I would love if it were out on DVD by the summer.
Okay.
And we're going to be, I think, pushing to make that happen as soon as possible.
Hey, I was asking a couple of friends whether Jess Weixler's teeth, which I did not see deliberately out of fear of nursing castration fantasies, so I didn't go to see it at Sundance. But is it on DVD itself? Because I looked around.
It is.
It is?
Keith is on DVD. I think you'll really dig it. I mean, she's really, that's the first thing I saw her in. And she, you know, she's just really great in it. And she's just got such good energy that even if you're not so into the chomping vagina, you know, I think you'll really like watching her.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to find it somehow. It's just that my usual places that I go to find, I guess I'll have to order it or something.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, you can definitely track it down.
You know, my heart is breaking. I don't know what's going on in retail life, but I am a person who loves to just wander around really good DVD stores and just kind of like immerse myself in the wandering and the just thinking about things, something I might want to buy or not. I really, don't like just simply going and ordering online. I mean, it just tears out so much of the enjoyment of the whole thing. I just,
Yeah, I know. I feel fortunate that I sort of, you know, really got into movies before IMDb and Amazon.com and all these things, because I had the same experience early on where I really, the stuff that I discovered that I really liked, I found exactly that way, you know, just by sort of wandering the aisles and looking at interesting box covers or things like that.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a lost art form soon, you know.
There's a really great place in Los Angeles called DVD Laser Blazer, it's called, on Pico.
I've never been there, but I've heard of it. I've bought some things from them online, but I've never been to the actual place.
Yeah. And, of course, you know that Virgin is going south as of April, May, June. At least in New York it is. And Circuit City is gone. And it just seems like the mom-and-pop DVD stores are going. So it's really a shame, but that's just the way the world is. I have to live with it somehow. But thanks for taking the time, Joe. I really appreciate you.
Digital algorithms.
Yeah.
Search.
Yeah. Well, man, I hope to run into you personally someday, and thanks very much for taking the time, and let's keep in touch.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, hopefully I'll see you soon. Yeah.
Okay, take care.